With the ban on overseas travel, Tasmania will be competing for both domestic tourists and seasonal workers. So what's the solution? Peak Body Fruit Growers Tasmania is looking at several options, including free travel on the Spirit of Tasmania for pickers, as well as teaming up with TAFE to upskill locals. Larissa Smith spoke to Chief Executive of Fruit Growers Tasmania, Peter Cornish, who's been finalising workforce figures for next summer.
What this is all about is looking forward now to the new season towards, you know, October, November, and getting a good handle of the on the season and what growers require, both in terms of ongoing labour but also seasonal, what type of seasonal labour that they tend to look for or tend to employ, and which of those months are going to be critical, because it is quite different depending on which part of the fruit sector they're working in.
What will the requirements be as more of these orchards expand and the new season's crop comes online?
Yeah, well, look, we've still got some more numbers to come in on that. So we're partway through our survey at the moment. So look forward to reporting back on that in a week or so. But, you know, for certainly on the seasonal side of it, we're talking about thousands of people. On the berry side of it, for example, you have about five seasonal workers for every one full-time worker. And so it's the existence of those seasonal workers, trained, efficient seasonal workers, cost-effective seasonal workers, that allows for the full-time workers to be employed as well. So they're a crucial part of that. In something like the cherries, it could be something more along the lines of, you know, well over 10 or more to one, because it's such a peak requirement and because they are so perishable. So it'll be good to get some of those numbers back. We also do want to get some better numbers on the people who are involved all year round. I mean, they're the fantastic jobs, no question about it. Whether they're full-time or part-time or regular casual work, it's great to be able to do that and support, you know, have that employment in the state throughout the whole year. But without the seasonal, we just don't function as an industry.
Are you worried that fruit growers will not have the number of pickers that will be required for this season because of the lack of international passenger flights bringing those particular workers into the country?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it, and we are concerned. There's no question. There's talk of some 50,000 less international workers being available. It's a huge number throughout the country. So it is important. Normally we are, I wouldn't exactly say inundated, but a lot of our growers have many times more than the positions that they can fill in terms of applicants who apply for these jobs. So there's great demand, and I think it's a great thing that Tasmania's in high demand for seasonal workers, particularly at that time of the year. But how many can travel back from the other states? How many will still be in the country? How many have gone home? Particularly in terms of the Pacific Island workers, if the borders open up to their home country, they're people who have been here for many months, and they normally need to be here for 6 months. But they're working, their visas have changed now because these bridging visas, if you like, or the extended visas, are now different. If they head back home, how do we get them back again? So it is a big issue. And of the people who are in the country, how do we make sure that people travel south? Tasmania has a great reputation, I think, as employers of seasonal labour. How do we make sure, though, that we are attractive to people who now are going to have more choice? Do we offer, for example, free travel on the Spirit of Tasmania to get backpackers back into the state? Do we make it clear to them that, you know, there are going to be jobs available and it's a great location? And we have been very fortunate, including throughout the pandemic, the way the government has and everyone has worked together to make it a safe, reliable place. So we need to make sure we're at the top of people's list about coming back to undertake the seasonal work.
Is this travel incentive on the table with the state government right now?
It's something we've been working on, and it's something we've raised briefly, but we need to do some more work on, but we'd like to talk to the state government about that for sure. It's an area where the state government, who has been incredibly supportive of agriculture, and I think of the state, full stop, I think they've done a terrific job through this pandemic and continue to do so. I guess the real trick now is how do we work on doing things going forward? And I think that's a particular aspect of it. And I think training is another really important point. Making sure that we have the right skilled people, both for the people who have the year-round jobs, but also the seasonal workers. You know, we've been talking about the right skills and the skills necessary in the fruit sector for a number of years now. And to be honest, we've struggled to get some decent traction on that. But really, we have
a set of... Why do you think that's the case?
I really don't know. to be honest with you. I think the skills are pretty clear what we need, and we're talking about skills that, you know, that the orchard hand, the farm hand, you know, the people who work in the berry sector, who do so much of the work. We're probably talking about the skills required for 50 to 70% of our workers, our ongoing workers, let alone the seasonal workers. But for the ongoing workers, 50 to 70% who come through and work, you know, the hands-on work, the work that really gets things done, 50 to 70% of those workers need a skill level, need to get basic skills, probably below what we would call a certificate two. So we're working with TAFE at the moment on trying to put an improved skill set together. That's an idea they've come up with. So we've got a bit of traction inside TAFE at the moment, and we just need to make sure this gets delivered on, because we know what the skills are required. We just don't have the training courses, that the affordable training courses. And I think this is a key thing for government to grasp, is to take agriculture forward, we need a general skill set across agriculture that's widely available, not left up to employers to do it in a piecemeal specific rate. We need to lift the level of skills of the people who are in the workforce, but also make these skills readily available for people who want to come into the ag workforce.
But you can't wholly and solely depend on locals to fill the needs of fruit growers.
Not in a seasonal way, but far and wide, certainly for the ongoing work, it will be locals. We certainly, though, saw a lot more locals in parts. It was a bit late in the season when things happened with the pandemic, but we saw a number of employers who did have a lot more locals, even in the seasonal work. And I guess that's something we need to do, is try and give the best opportunity to locals, to give them the skills. And some people may only want to work for several months a year, perhaps in the fruit side. Maybe they'll do something else in another part of it. But we need to give people, and the one way to find that out is to make sure we've got the training courses there available and see what the demand is like. Give people our local residents, every opportunity to participate in our sector. And see if they want to be involved in the seasonal, but certainly the ongoing work. But our biggest thing at the moment is we have a gap in our ongoing workforce of these skills. And they're straightforward, and we need people to come in, and we need government support to come in. And it is a role of government. It should be a core part for TAFE. They are our central training institution, and we're looking for their support to make sure we've got the skills we need in the agricultural sector.
Peter Cornish, Chief Executive of Fruit Growers Tasmania, speaking there to Larissa Smith about workforce numbers for the summer harvests in the state. Are you one of those locals that Peter was talking about? Let us know your thoughts. 0438 922 936. What about what he said about looking at free trips for overseas workers on the Spirit of Tasmania to make sure the workers can come across Bass Strait? 0438 922 936 is that number. Well, one of Tasmania's biggest fruit growers, Tim Reed, remains confident enough workers will be found to cover the next summer's harvest. Tim Reed says he believes a bigger problem for the industry is getting the fruit to the overseas markets with the changes to air flight schedules.
Well, clearly it is of some concern, but I think it's a fair way off yet. Just speaking with the people who recruit backpackers for us, they remain fairly confident that they'll get enough people between the Pacific Islander program and amongst the backpackers that are already here in Australia. And there are a number of backpackers already working in Tasmania, moving around from industry to industry. So we're quietly confident we're going to get enough people. Yeah.
How many people do you normally get applying to work in the cherry harvest?
Well, just as an example, our packing facility down in the Huon Valley, we employ 300 people, and it's not uncommon to get 5,000 to 6,000 applicants for those 300 jobs. So I'll be very surprised if we can't scrape up the 300 for the packhouse. Mind you, a lot of those people are, again, university students, often overseas students who are here over the summer. I'm not sure how many of those are around, and we employ a lot of locals. We have a policy to employ local people first. I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to get enough people for the packhouse. In the orchards, probably another 1,000 people, depending on the crop size, 800 or 1,000 people across the orchards from the Huon Valley up in the Derwent Valley and eventually up in the southern Midlands. But again, pretty heavily reliant on backpackers. But we have a base team of locals, particularly from some of the migrant groups, Bhutanese, Nepalese, you know, and some of the Sudanese people have been fantastic, and they come with us and work with us consistently. Yeah.
Do you think there'll be a lot more locals who'll be looking for work because of the pandemic?
There probably will be, but I think one of the influences will be what the government decide to do with the job seeker funding, and when what level that's retained at after it falls back in September. And I think, you know, depending on how much money the government's going to give people to go and find to seek permanent work, they may not be interested in coming out picking cherries. It'll depend on the level of funding that the government supply to people, I think, as to how many locals will be available. But, you know, again, we always like to employ as many locals as we can, and we're absolutely cognizant of the very difficult situation a lot of people have been placed in over recent months. And so we'll be making a mammoth effort to get as many local people into employment over those few weeks as we can.
Must be some concern, though, with the figures stating that there's 50,000 less overseas workers in Australia this time compared to last year.
Yes, that is of concern, absolutely. But, you know, Tasmania is a very attractive place to come to in the summertime, and harvesting cherries is quite a lucrative job for backpackers. I think many of those that come to Australia, you know, have an ambition to come and see Tasmania. They've heard about it from friends who've been here previously, and so it's a lot easier, and the climate's a lot better picking cherries than being in the heat up in the northern part of Western Australia or somewhere picking up watermelons in the heat. So it's an attractive job, and so, you know, I think people will come here if they have the opportunity.
Tim Reed, our guest on the Country Hour, orchardist, cherry grower, and employer of a lot of people at harvest time. Tim, what's the biggest worry apart from the workers? Is it getting the cherries to the market eventually?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's our biggest worry. All the indicators are that the markets are actually improving already, even in China, where they're already, you know, at this time of year, they're receiving cherries from the United States. I understand the market prices are fairly firm and the volumes aren't too bad out of the US, so it's a very good indicator for us. Last year, we exported to 23 destinations across 17 countries. And so, you know, we've got diversification in the markets, but of course, most of our overseas sales are, you know, delivered by air freight, and we rely heavily on passenger aircraft to carry those cherries to all those markets. So with less flights, obviously, we're going to have some difficulty. But we're working with our freight forwarders on options. There's ever-increasing opportunities to use dedicated air freight services. So we're also looking at sea freight. We've done a lot of sea freighting in the past, or some at least, over longer distances over the US and whatever. So, and our major competitor, the Chileans, they sea freight everything. Just about 95% of their product comes from Chile over about a 3 to 4 week period into Asia. So we're much closer, and we think we can run a successful sea freight operation. So we're looking at that as well.
So you're looking at these flights that are leaving Hobart Airport on Wednesday. Is that the sort of thing that you're hoping will still be happening?
To be quite honest, we're not likely to use that service. We would normally transport our cherries across Bass Strait on the Spirit of Tasmania service in refrigerated trucks and deliver it to our freight forwarders in Melbourne, who load the fruit into air containers and deliver it to overseas flights, the multiple flights going out of Melbourne to all destinations. And so that's the hub for us. We do transport some by road up to Sydney occasionally, and very rarely across to Adelaide to connect with flights. But we'll be transporting mainly across to Melbourne. But some of the fruit might be loaded in sea containers. That may be at our pack house and sealed up here. We're even exploring maybe the opportunity to load sea containers in Melbourne. But there are issues around the protocols for fruit fly security in doing all of that, which we're working on at the moment.
Is it imperative that you do get those cherries to the overseas market because of the return you'll get instead of flooding the domestic market as at the time?
Well, look, we would prefer to serve the domestic market, and every year we sell around about 20% of our first grade cherries in Australia. 15 to 20%, but that's about all the market can cope with, given supply coming in from other cherry growers in Tasmania, and we overlap with Victoria. So the market here can only absorb so much. We couldn't employ as many people and have a business the size we have if we had to rely on the Australian market alone to absorb all the product. So we have to take advantage of export opportunity to run a business of the scale we do. And that, I think that applies across a lot of the cherry industry in Australia and particularly here in Tasmania.
Fruit grower Tim Reed on the issues of freights and getting enough workers for next year's cherry harvest, looking at different options 6 months out from the harvest.